Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, November 10th, 2023, TGIF. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. Now on from 9 until 2 with our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct, takes over from 2 until 4. We appreciate him following us each and every day. A great block. And, of course, our friends at As Goes Wisconsin, Jane and Greg, filling in for Kristen Bry from 10 until noon each and every day. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we have our ongoing contributor and ongoing guest every other week, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World, coming in to do a little lighter side of Week in Review, the stories that really mattered. So we'll talk to Peter as well, and Mr. Zommers will have his edition of Board Game of the Week, what you could do this weekend. I am wearing my Wisconsin Badger basketball sweatshirt, going to the game with my good friend Jeff tonight, going down to see if the Badgers can knock off number 9 Tennessee. You can hear that game as well across Civic Media. Simply go to the Civic Media app, click on WRCE, News from the Center, and you can listen to that game for free. You're really going to need it tonight, or at least a lot of people will, because the game can only be seen on television via Peacock on the stream. So you got that going for you. or you don't, either way. But listen to the Civic Media app. It's free, and it's a great job. Matt LaPay and Brian Butch on the call tonight. And then, of course, Matt LaPay will be on the air tomorrow as the Badgers are at home to take on Northwestern to see if they can get back on track, be bowl eligible. You can hear that game on the Civic Media app as well. So all kinds of great sports coming up this weekend, and keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Right now, I want to finish up this the subject we were talking about last hour.
Although, actually, before we get to that, yes. I have a question.
Yes, yes.
So right as we were starting this hour, Todd glanced out the window and started laughing. What's so funny down there on State Street?
Well, yeah, and again, we're high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. And one of the great things about this location is you see a lot. As Yogi Berra once said, you can see a lot just by looking around. And so, you know, I was looking out my window, and there was a guy who looked uncannily like George Santos, the congressperson from Washington, D.C., from New York. There's a guy that looked like George Santos, glasses and all, and like a sweater on and a coat over the sweater and a tie. Anyway, and he had a cane. And not like a walking stick cane, but like a cane someone would use if they had a medical condition, if they had to use a cane to walk. And he had a cane, and he took about 2 steps towards the intersection, and the light was changing, and he just picked up the cane, put it under his arm, and ran across the street. And I'm like, does this guy really need a cane or not really? It seemed very odd to me.
Yeah, definitely a funny picture, but I mean, he probably does still need it. Like, disabilities are... Everyone's different.
Well, I'm not making fun of anybody.
Yeah, obviously. I know.
It reminded me of the old Brady Bunch episode where, you know, the guy had the brace on his neck and then Mike Brady threw the briefcase in the middle of the courtroom. And the guy turned to look, and it turned out he was faking it. So, I mean, you know, you got a guy with a cane and all of a sudden he just picks it up and runs across the street. Do you really need the cane? I don't know. It seemed funny to me. And the fact that he looked like George Santos, who, of course, is a fake himself.
So, that is a good point.
So that made it all the more humorous. Anyway, that's the sidebar for the day. More importantly, talking about this issue of the West Virginia U.S. Senator, Democrat from West Virginia, George. See, now I got George Santos in the brain. Thank you very much. Joe Manchin, who announced yesterday he would not seek re-election and hinted heavily that he is going to seek a independent run at the presidency via no labels. And then, of course, Jill Stein says that she's going to take another ill-fated run and seek the Green Party ticket. And you got, you know, West out there running as well. And you've got Robert Kennedy Jr. running as well. And my question was, all these people are going to be taking away votes primarily from Joe Biden. that helps put Trump back in the White House. And so I asked, what do you think about this? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Bill in Waukesha. Bill, you called in just before we had to go to the news there at the top of the hour. Appreciate you holding through all of that. Bill, the floor is yours. What say you?
Hi. I enjoy your show, Todd, and I listen occasionally and actually quite often.
I appreciate that.
One thing about Kennedy is that both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, copy what he says, you know, in his speeches. And, you know, this is why he's changed to the Green Party. But another thing that they've talked about is this Megan Wolf, I guess her name is. You know, when she took that job, it was a mess. And then they, you know, I thought they were, they said she did such a good job. I thought they were going to bypass any election and hold a special session and, you know, let her have her job for another 4 years. I'm really surprised he didn't do something like that. But I enjoy your show, and I know you like sports, and I'm going to go Packers 27-24. Pittsburgh's going to have to lose a few now.
Appreciate that, Bill. Yes, the Pack is traveling down to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, the Watt brothers, TJ Watt, which I'm still salty about, by the way, because the Packers passed on TJ Watt and let him go to in the draft. And let him go to Pittsburgh. And now his brother Derek Watt is the Watt brothers. It's a Watt-tastic team down there in Pittsburgh. And by the way, the Packers, I believe I'm correct in saying this, the Packers have not won in Pittsburgh since 1970. So I don't know. Well, I hope. I like the enthusiasm, Bill. You can hear the Packers on the Packer Radio Network on select stations across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. As David Letterman likes to say, I hope one of your stations has been selected. WRCO in Southwest Wisconsin, my hometown, WRCO FM 100.9. Certainly one of those Packer stations where you can listen to the Packers over the weekend. Bill brought up Megan Wolf. Just for those who might not know, of course, she is the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission and been doing a fantastic job, won national accolades for her work. And the Yahoos at the leadership of the state Senate, Republicans decided to try to fire her and vote her out. And it turns out that the Attorney General of Wisconsin, Josh Call, said, yeah, you can't do that against the law. And the courts looked into this and they've had to bring in some of these Republicans into deposition and basically the Republicans admitted, yeah, we know. we didn't really have the legal authority to do it, but we thought we'd try it anyway. In layman's terms, that's what they said. And so now they want to impeach Megan Wolf. And of course, impeachment has to start in the lower house, which is the assembly in Wisconsin. And so at first, Rockin' Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, said, no, I think we're okay. We're not going to try to impeach Megan Wolf. There's not enough here. Well, by golly, there was a bunch of right-wing mega types that had a bunch of money, a bunch of these money people, and they started running ads in Robin Voss's hometown, in his district down there in beautiful Burlington, Wisconsin. And I've been there, a beautiful community, by the way. And they started to threaten that they were going to recall him or primary him if he didn't start impeaching Megan Wolf for nothing. No real charges here. All trumped up charges, pun intended. And so Robin Voss got some religion and he said, okay, well, we'll allow this to go through after they started running these ads against him. And a lot of people found that funny or odd, maybe is a better word. And then this Marquette Law School poll came out this week, and we find out that Robin Voss's favorability ratings, I'm not making this up, 16%, 16% is what the favorability is on Robin Voss. So it's no wonder he changed his mind and got religion, because he knows he needs the big money megas if he's going to run for re-election. And listen, there are people out there in the Republican Party that are talking. And the talk is Robin Voss may not run for re-election anyway because his numbers are so bad. And he may, in fact, step down and not finish out his current term.
That's what's being talked about. So we shall see. So that was the whole infighting. So I don't know how this Megan Wolf issue is going to end, how it should end, as everything should be dropped against her. She should be allowed to continue on with her job because she does a great job. And again, Wisconsin's elections in 2020 were some of the most safe and secure and accurate in the United States of America. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. That is a direct quote from Republican Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House from Janesville, Wisconsin. A little history lesson on that. Let's go to the text lines from Angie in Monroe. Says, do you think it's possible that Joe Manchin did not run for re-election to the Senate because he might not have the numbers for it anymore? And I wonder if it will affect Republicans more because they need a different go-to than what they have running right now for second place. Many Democrats never liked Joe Manchin as far as the rest of the country goes. I think you had a great point there, Angie. And there's a very popular Republican governor who has decided to put his hat into the ring and run against Joe Manchin for Senate. And the polling numbers for Manchin are not good against this Republican governor. So a lot of people agree with you that, yes, the reason Joe Manchin got out was because he knew he'd probably lose, even as conservative of a Democrat as he is. So we shall see on that. Also from Andrew in Verona, difference between 2016 and 2024 polling. We were told that Hillary was, quote unquote, a guarantee. So disaffected Dems thought they could vote for Stein, Jill Stein, that is, and still get Hillary in the end. I'm really hoping these same independent-minded Dems realize that if they do the same thing this time, Trump wins. That's a great point from Andrew, because you're right. Those people I was talking about in the last segment, people that came into my coffee shop here in Madison, very Democratic voters, they laughed at me when I hinted or thought, given my opinion, that Trump had a chance. They laughed at it because you're right. The line was that Hillary was a sure thing. We all know what happens about sure things, right? So that's a great point, Andrew. Really appreciate that text. You can text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your app store on your Android or Apple device. Also, Rico says, love seeing the flag in the background. Just another thing that MAGA claim as their own. Rico will talk about why I have the flag behind me on the next on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and this is the Todd Allball Show. Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, November 10th, 2023. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to have our ongoing contributor, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World, with a week in review. A little bit on the lighter side, so looking forward to that. Also, board game of the week, so do not go anywhere. Luke Mathers is just passing by our studios here. The great Luke Mathers waving. Luke looks fantastic today, by the way. Looks very fallish in fall colors.
Well, it sure is fall.
It is. I was going to play this last segment. I messed up Mr. Sommers. So I want to play you this cut from Univision, or as those in the Spanish-speaking world say, Univision. That's one of the many reasons I like going to El Salvador is to watch all the Spanish television, including Univision. So Donald Trump was on Univision last night in an interview. And if you want to know what's driving my angst over this third party business today, this interview last night is it. When Donald Trump was asked basically, look, you know, what sort of powers would you use? What sort of things will be on your agenda in a second term? Here was Trump's reply.
They've weaponized the Justice Department. They've weaponized the FBI. And they've come at me with the worst indictments. If they want to follow through on this, it could certainly happen in reverse. It could certainly happen in reverse. What they've done is they've
released the genie out of the box. They have done something that allows the next party. I mean, if somebody, if I happen to be president and I see somebody who's doing well and beating me very badly, I say, go down and indict them. Mostly, that would be, you know, they would be out of business. They'd be out. They'd be out of the election. In my case, they were such pathetic indictments.
So there is a former president of the United States stating on the record to a major television network that if elected again, he would not rule out using his power to go after people just willy-nilly. Now, I get it that there are people on the MAGA side who have the belief that that's what the Biden administration is doing to Trump. I understand that's the belief. There is simply no logical or real evidential facts to back that up. That's simply not happening. As we've noted on this show before, if that were happening, then Democratic U.S. Senator from New Jersey, Menendez, would not also be indicted right now in a lot of hot water for all the bribery accusations against him and treasonous accusations, it might add. So the Justice Department is operating just fine, thank you very much, and in reality. What's dangerous is for a former president to say, I'm going to use my power to go after people. And again, there was a New York Times story, a Washington Post story last weekend, in which Trump is intimating that he's going to enact, you know, military powers on day one and use the military to put people down. That is dangerous. That is not a difference of policy. That is authoritarian fascism dictatorship. And that's why I don't believe that we can risk voting for third-party candidates because they excite us more on one or two issues than putting the overall welfare of the country and democracy at risk. Democracy is on the line. That is very true in 2024. Rico from, I forget where Rico's from. Is it Janesville?
Rock County.
That's right, Rock County. Beautiful, beautiful Rock County. Rico was telling us before the last break there, he loves seeing the flag over my right shoulder in the background. Now, let me tell you what. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. And anybody knows me knows I am a huge supporter of our military and those men and women who have served. I have not. And one of the few regrets of my life that I didn't serve, but I did not. But have a very high honor and fortune working with military personnel during my time working for a former congressman. Have been to West Point and helped out a little bit on recruiting, helped out with some of the military academies and recruiting for the military academies. And you will not find finer people than those who put on the uniform. And I've seen a lot this week here in Madison via Channel 3000, Channel 3, of honor flights, of having our men and women who served in battle and those who did not, veterans, having a chance, particularly those who served. There are still a few, a very few from World War II, from the Korean War, from the Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, and others who are getting a chance to go to Washington, D.C. and see some of these memorials for the day and then fly back and have these fantastic welcome home ceremonies from their friends and family and community and loved ones and bands playing and flags. And that is as it should be. And I hope that each of us tomorrow, well, today too, that's why I have the flag behind me today. I hope that each of us takes a moment to stop and realize a couple of things. A, as Rico said, the United States flag does not belong to any one party, any one person, any one movement, other than the movement of the United States of America and freedom and democracy. It should be a flag of unifying our country and not used for partisan purposes. We are all Americans. And as long as you believe in the fundamental tenets of democracy and freedom and that this country was not founded on a religious ideal. It was not founded on race or ethnicities. It was not founded on geography. But rather, the United States of America was founded on an idea and a principle of freedom. And that we are all created equal. And yes, we fell short of that dramatically at the start of this country. And we still need progress on that. But it is a melting pot of ideals and people that together we form a more perfect union. Union. So my salute to all of you who have served, my thanks, my deep thanks to all of you who have worn the uniform. And if you see someone wearing a cap that has a Navy ship on it, or any other sort of military insignia this weekend, anytime really, I try to do it. I don't always do it. But oftentimes if I see someone with a hat on that says, you know, USS Enterprise or Eisenhower or whatever the ship is, or might say a Vietnam vet, just say thanks. Just say, hey, thanks. I see your hat. I appreciate your service. It means a lot. It really does to people who have served. And do what you can to support our military men and women and the veterans who have served. Because without them, we don't get to have these discussions. I think we forget that sometimes. We take yelling at one another for granted, right? We take the fact that we can disagree with one another for granted. The opportunity, the privilege to do that was paid for with the blood of our fellow Americans and our veterans in uniform. May those who went before rest in peace. May those who are still there be blessed by each and every one of us. Our thanks to each and every one of you. Stay tuned. Back on the other side, Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. It is Friday, November 10th, 2023, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have along Mr. Zommers on the board and joining us each and every other Friday here to kind of end the week and find out what really matters in the news from EPOM's World. We have none other than Peter Rapine. We appreciate you joining us, Peter. How the heck are you?
Doing great, Todd. Doing great. Honestly, I look forward to this every other Friday. I love sharing all the silly stories with you guys.
Well, my pleasure. We look forward to it as well. And by the way, I have new glasses ordered. It's a long story. I'm not going to go into. I've broken these things three times now. They're affixed with super glue and they're cockeyed on my face. But anyway, my glasses are kind of off. I looked at the screen, which is a little ways away from me, and I see there's something behind Peter on the screen. And I thought, oh, he has a cat up there, and it turns out no, it's a dinosaur, right, Peter?
It is. It's a plastic Tyrannosaurus Rex. Next to a photo of a dog doing science that reads, I have no idea what I'm doing.
That's fantastic. Let's get right into it. Again, people can find this great work at epomsworld.com. Again, epomsworld.com. And let's start right off. What are some of a couple of your favorite headlines this week in the week of review?
Oh my gosh. I think the biggest story for us this week, and definitely the funniest one for us this week, you probably are familiar with the Bored Apes.
Yes.
They were really popular NFTs. Well, there was an ape fest that happened in Hong Kong last weekend. And the organizers made a pretty big mistake where they bought a bunch of LED lights, but they bought the type that are used for disinfecting surfaces, not the type that are safe for people's eyes. Oh, so after the fest, a bunch of people found themselves with painstaking headaches. A number of them had to go to the hospital. They were all citing blurred vision and like temporary blindness.
Oh my gosh. So
basically, Bored Ape fans got blinded at a Bored Ape fest, which is probably the funniest thing that could happen to them beyond spending $500,000 on a picture of a monkey. So when people say that there isn't a God, right, I think we have some good proof that there might be. And he's pretty funny.
Yeah, certainly somewhere in the gene pool, the human gene is just not doing well. That's fantastic. Here's one. We talked a lot of politics. We talked about this week. The Republican national or the debate here, the presidential debate. And there was this big deal made over Vivek Ramaswamy talking about Haley, Nikki Haley's shoes, her high heels. The headline here at EPOM's World this week, Nikki Haley's foot fetishes were the real winners in last night's Republican presidential debate.
Yeah. The debate, and it seems like there's a lot of talk amongst the Republicans about shoes recently, right? Ron DeSantis, is he not wearing lifts? Nikki Haley allegedly wears heels for ammunition, whatever that means. But yeah, people found out that after all this talk, there's a website called WikiFeet. And WikiFeet's a site where people upload photos of people's feet, is basically what it sounds. And she has a really popular page on the site, it turns out. Yeah. And it's basically what you would assume, you know, it's photos of her in high heels. So yeah, they were the big winners of the debate.
Does she have nice feet? I don't know. I never looked at them.
I don't know. I you're asking the wrong guy.
Maybe we'll have to look on Foot Finder because.
Yeah. I'm either for or against feet. I like the utilitarian aspects of feet.
This Ramaswamy guy, I mean, he's just a kook anyway, but I mean, what a dope. I mean, you're a male, you're a dude on the Republican ticket, and you're going after the only woman in the field, and you're picking, and you're going after her on her footwear. I mean, what a dope politically to be doing that. He said something like, well, you have 3-inch heels, and she came back and said, no, they're 6-inch, and I use them for ammunition. And I just thought, really, is this where American politics is at?
Sadly, it's exactly where American politics is at. Yeah. What more can you expect from it?
Yeah, right? I don't know. It's just kind of ridiculous. Now, I'm a coffee fan. I'm not necessarily, I like to do like a pour over coffee. I'm kind of a coffee geek. I was in the coffee business for a while. I know coffee farmers in El Salvador. But here, I know a lot of people use the old Keurig. Here's a headline, K-Cup Secret. Don't throw out your Keurig's coffee maker just yet. What is this all about?
Read that one again.
K-Cup Secret. Don't throw out. Oh, wait a minute. Look at this. This is a sponsored ad.
An advertisement.
This is a sponsored ad.
But look
at how sneaky they are. Look at they use the same like the font. It looks like a story on EPOM's World.
The funny thing is I do know something about Keurig. I know that the guy that founded Keurig has since come out against the company because of how much weight there is involved with it, which is kind of
terrible.
Funny.
They're terrible for the environment.
Yeah, they're single throwaways. Kind of like the guy that invented the Segway. He rode a Segway off a cliff.
What?
The founder. Yeah, you didn't know that.
I did not know that.
I know he did. So the Keurig guy, I guess you can kind of lump that into the same category of, you know, people who invent things and then end up hating them. But yeah, that's the ads. They try to mimic our site so they can, you know,
that's
trick
us. Well, obviously it tricked me, but of course I'm not the brightest bulb on the string, but I thought that, I'm like, well, there must be a great joke there, but no, the joke's on Todd as it turns out. This might be my favorite one so far of the day. And this is actually a story on EPOM's World. And we're talking with none other than Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. Quote, what the hell happened to Jeremy Allen White's bulge? let me read you the opening line. Ahead of the release of the Iron Claw next month, the internet's favorite white boy, Jeremy Allen White, recently participated in a sporty photo shoot that saw him spend more than 5 minutes outside of the kitchen for once. What is this all about?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the actor strike is over and the Iron Claw is coming out, and he's in that with Zac Efron. Mm-hmm. There was a photo shoot that came out in, you know, conjunction with it. And it seems like the photo editor did some retouching because he's got a very flat front. And it's not bad for the Barbie movie. So you would assume that there'd be some, you know, anatomically correct package there, but it's just not there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we want a little bulge. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of bulge.
nothing wrong at all. In fact, there used to be a website called the Bulge Report that would just have photos of all these like dudes and their bulges.
That's great.
It was like all over the internet. And I remember that. And that's when I read that headline. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, another one that I really love on our homepage right now. So there's a contest going on in Minnesota. And I'm not sure if they're actually going to choose some of the submissions to replace the state flag, but that's what they're alleging. So yes. Minnesota asked, hey, help us design a new state flag. And some genius just uploaded a photo of their dog. And so far, it seems like it's the fan favorite online. So keep your fingers crossed, Minnesotans. You might have a really cute dog on your state flag.
This is just Bodie McBoatface all over again.
Exactly. Yeah. Knowing the way that that's going to go, the dog's going to win and they're going to override it and put a mallard or some duck on it.
But wouldn't that be great? I'm Wisconsinite through and through, but I know a lot of we have listeners in Minnesota because we have a station, Amory, right next to the border there. And so I know we have Minnesotan listeners. Why not have a dog on the state flag?
Why not have a dog? That's what the internet thinks. Right. Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. And of course, I love anything animal stories. Quote, here we go again. Australian man fights off kangaroo who had his dog in a headlock. This is true.
Yes. And it seems like it happens more often than you'd think. There is a really famous viral video, from 2016, 2017, where this guy is on a safari. They're driving out in the outback and he sees a kangaroo with his dog in a headlock, and he runs up and he punches the kangaroo in the face. Kangaroo drops the dog and the two kind of stand off for a second. This is basically that story, but the 2.0 version where it happened again. There was no punches thrown, but the guy squared up with the kangaroo. They have a short tussle and then the dog gets set free. Yeah. Australia, crazy place. Clearly right. Crazy place.
Almost as crazy as Florida, but no, not quite.
Oh yeah, not quite. We do have a funny story out of Florida this week.
What do you
There's got? A ring camera caught a black bear stealing a family's Taco Bell delivery order. So it shows the Uber driver showing up, dropping the bag on the porch. A bear, clearly waiting in the bushes somewhere, runs out, grabs the bag, and just scurries away. 5 seconds later, you see the homeowner come out. Looking for his food. He's kind of standing around like, where did my Taco Bell go? And, you know, there's some bear in a bush eating a Crunchwrap Supreme, having the time of his life.
Now, are we sure that that bear's name isn't Jeff Patricus? Because he's a sports reporter here in Wisconsin who tweets out all the time how much he loves Taco Bell. And so, you know, it could be Jeff Patricus in a bear suit.
Yeah. We hope the bear was a fan of Baja Blast. He probably got some of that.
Nothing wrong with it. The bear likes a good Taco Bell.
Yeah, who doesn't love a good Taco Bell?
Yeah, especially after a late night or whatever the case may be. Any other favorites we want to make sure we get to here? About 4 minutes left or so. Anything in particular you want to make sure we call out?
Yeah, so we do love a good bit of ingenuity, but also, you know, I think our bread and butter here is good CCTV camera stuff, kind of like the Ring Taco Bell bear. But we have a video here of a guy in Oakland, California, who used a backhoe to steal an ATM. And the security camera shows someone at a desk in a store and immediately jumps up and starts running away. And 3 seconds later, the hook or crane, you know, the front end of the backhoe bashes through the window, starts tearing up the whole place, smashes the ATM, and just sounds like a lot of work to go through, you know.
Well, and how do you steal some money? How do you think you're going to get away? You know, with
exactly.
I've seen videos where, you know, late at night or whatever, somebody smashes. They've got it all worked out. They got a big chain, and they just tie it around the ATM, and it's hooked up to their big, you know, F-150 or whatever, and they take off. But I mean, using a backhoe does not seem like the most efficient way of doing it.
No, I mean, it's definitely the coolest way.
Oh, sure. I'll give you that.
You'd hope they'd have a, you know, the backhoe can also be the tool that you use to break into the store and then get away. Like, you have to have another getaway car, right? The CPD goes out, hey, man, in backhoe, the stolen ATM. It's like, that guy's going to get found pretty quickly.
Here's what I really enjoy. Quote, Slay, local dad wears crop top and short shorts at a school board meeting, but swears he's making a point.
Yeah, so that one was, I think, from last week, and he's trying to make a point about how they're allowing young kids to dress, you know, provocatively and questionably, and he's got a tiny little shirt on, tiny little shorts, but the internet saw it and was like, actually, dude, you look kind of good. Like, I'm not sure what point you're trying to make, but, like, fair, dude. Like, go off, bro.
I would dispute. Right? I would dispute whether he looks good or not. I don't know.
That's open for debate. But the internet's, you know, they like to be trolly, so that's what that one.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed that. Anything else? Anything else comes to your mind in particular?
Yeah, there was a. So it's happened for the second time in a couple of weeks where a real human skull has been found in a thrift store. This time it happened in Florida.
Get out.
Yeah, it was on display, and I think they were trying to sell it for like $4,000, which I'm not sure what the going rate for human bones are, but
oh my God.
Kind of feels like a steal. Yeah.
Well, yes, I guess it would be a steal. I mean, donate your body to science, but not the thrift store. I mean, holy
I know. Like, so many questions about like how that stuff happens and how it gets there, and what do you do after the fact, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what is... I don't know. Uncle Joe is on, you know, on your shelf.
Seems nothing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Nothing's really off limits. It seems
in a thrift store. Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. You can find his work at EPOMsWorld.com. We always appreciate you taking time, my friend, to help us wrap up the week in review. Thank you so much. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Doug.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Back with Board Game of the Week and more after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. That is 2 o'clock, make that. 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock, this darn tooting clock. 10 before the hour of 2, that is 10 minutes away from our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn Direct. History being made of every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take you to the front lines of history for today, Friday, November 10th. So stay tuned after the news and weather update at the top of the hour. Matt Flynn will be in and loaded for bear. All kinds, whether it's bears getting Taco Bell at the front door or bears out in Washington, D.C. Very seriously. And I wanted to talk about this today. We've kind of run out of time. And I'm guessing Matt will at least mention this in passing, maybe spend some time on it. Because we spent a lot of time talking about the government shutdown when Kevin McCarthy was speaker. But guess what? We are 1 week away from another a government shutdown. 1 week. Now with Trump's Johnson, Mike Johnson, in the speaker's chair. And there is no foreseeable plan how they're going to keep government open. By the way, this week, in the House Representatives, they had to pull two spending bills off the floor because Republicans couldn't even get enough votes in their own caucus to do that.
Unsurprising.
They cannot, literally now, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene calling Lauren Boebert names that I can't say on the air because of FCC regulations. That's what the Republican caucus has come to right now. Again, we're not talking about your neighborhood Republican voter. We're talking about the leaders of the Republican Party calling each other names, completely unable to govern in the House of Representatives, and we are 1 week away from a government shutdown. So stay tuned. I'm sure Matt will have more on that in his show. We will certainly be talking about it on Monday when we come back. Right now it is 1:52, time for Board Game of the Week.
What's up, everybody? It's time again. It's your boy Aaron Sommers with a board game of the week. You don't want to miss it. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications.
There's a subscribe button now for board game of the week?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
Fine. That's fine. I mean, I might have missed rehearsal earlier today, so that's fine.
If there is, I don't know about it.
All right. So what do you got? Board game of the week.
Today, we have the game Marvel Champions.
Oh.
So this, obviously, a Marvel game if you're into superheroes. It takes on the comic book style. It's not like MCU. You're not having pictures of Chris Hemsworth and whatever in your game. It's the comic book style art.
All right.
And it is what is called an LCG, a living card game. So what that means, there's a few different kinds of card games. Most popular, most well-known is probably the TCG or CCG, trading card game, collectible card game.
All right.
That's where you buy a pack of random cards, and then you make decks out of that.
And we're not talking about playing cards.
No, we're talking about, not like a bicycle deck, right. Not that kind of cards. Right. Like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon or whatever. Those are trading card games.
All right.
Living card game means instead of having to go and buy packs of random cards, you just buy a box that has all the cards in it.
Okay.
So it is its own game, and then they keep releasing new expansions for it. So, for example, in this one, the original box has a few villains, being Rhino from Spider-Man and Ultron from the Avengers, and then a few heroes, like Spider-Man and others. And if you want other characters, you can buy expansions, but you don't have to. So, in this game...
By the way, I literally have no idea what you're talking about, but go right ahead. I know a lot of people do, so just go ahead.
Fair enough. But you work together as your favorite Marvel heroes to stop the villains from enacting their schemes. So it's a cooperative game. Basically, each person takes their turn doing whatever hero actions they want to do, you know, slinging web as Spider-Man,
right.
Things like that, to try and stop the villain. And then the villain gets a turn. You basically flip over a card from their deck and do what it says.
And all this is via, there's no actual, you know, you're not flinging spider webs around. It's all via decks of cards. It's actions that are on the cards.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, go ahead.
And yeah, it's relatively complicated compared to a lot of the games that I talk about on here, as
yes,
Todd may already be aware of.
I mean, it sounds like a great game. Here's the bottom line question. Can a goofball like me learn this if I get the game and read the instructions?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say the other thing, what I would do personally as somebody who plays a lot of games, I'm going to read the instructions and then I'm also going to watch a YouTube video.
See, everything comes down to a YouTube video now. Everything.
It kind of does.
I mean, you call like customer service. They're like, well, have you watched the YouTube video? No, that's why I called customer service. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you might be able to try that. I don't know. Maybe there's a customer service number in the manual.
No, I'm not going to have, you know, whoever... guide me through a card game, but so what's the name of it again?
So Marvel Champions, 1 to 4 players. It takes about 45 to 90 minutes, depending, probably 90 the first time because nobody knows what they're doing yet. And it costs about $60. I'd recommend waiting a week for Black Friday. You can probably get it cheaper.
Oh, really? Do they have Black Friday sales for card games?
Oh, absolutely. Local game stores almost always have those sales. There's also at big box stores like Target or whatever. I don't know if Target carries this, but just as an example, they usually have some good sales too.
So $60-ish dollars, unless you wait for a Black Friday deal. And it's called?
Marvel Champions.
Marvel Champions, your board game of the week. I mean, it sounds fantastic. I'm not dissing it in any way, shape, or form. And I know there are people out there that know exactly what you mean. I think this is just one of those instances, as Luke Mathers likes to point out, where my age perhaps is showing. I just, you know, it ain't Monopoly.
That is true. It ain't Monopoly.
or you mean, I just it's a segment that, you know, I'm not familiar with. But growth is good, like we talked about earlier this week on the show.
Yeah, there we go.
You learn, you open your ears, you learn. Growth is good. So
Marvel Champions.
Marvel Champions.
Maybe I'll have to pick it up and we can learn how to play it on the air. I bet that would go great.
That would be just titillating radio, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Todd just sitting there with a blank face on his, or a blank look on his face. We got about a minute here, Mr. Zommers. Anything in particular you're thankful for this week?
Oh, not particularly.
The end of this show. That's what he said.
No.
Anything else? No, all right. Oh, I'll go. I mean, I'm thankful that for health, thankful that the weekend is here, thankful for the beautiful weather out there, that we've still got some sunshine, and thankful I'm going to a basketball game tonight with my good friend Jeff. You can listen to the Badgers tonight on the Civic Media app. Don't forget that Wisconsin taking on Tennessee should be a great time. Don't go anywhere. Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct is next. Thank you to Peter Rapine, to Mr. Zommers, and all the great callers. We'll see you next week. Keep banging.